And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter, just back from the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. We just where Aung San Suu Kyi just finished her talk not so long ago.
I know. It was an inspiring morning. I sat in the back so I would be sure to not get tangled up in traffic, but they really had all the systems working and the things cleared out quickly and smoothly, last I heard.
Many thousands of people, Burmese and non-Burmese alike, showed up to this rather historic event today. And for the first half of this program, we are actually going to take a bit of a detour and chat a bit about what Aung San Suu Kyi said during her visit here. And we do want to hear from you today. If you were at the Coliseum, or perhaps you watched the broadcast or listened to the speech here on WBOY, we want to hear your thoughts on the situation, on what she said, on your feeling about her coming to Fort Wayne in the first place.
Yeah.
So do give us a call and share your thoughts today. The number is 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Of course, a little bit later on, we'll switch back to our financial focus. But
we will.
And I should introduce that other voice you're hearing here. It's Susan Burns, our regular co-host.
Yes.
Susan, thank you very much for being with us.
Why, yes, Sean Beter. Thank you very much. And as part of this first detour section, we also have a guest who was also here yesterday, Fred Gilbert. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Fred, of course, a retired social worker, has worked significantly with the Burmese community here in Fort Wayne, and was also, second row center for Suu Kyi this morning. Not bad seats, Mr. Gilbert.
Well, I helped organize it, but that was, the community actually did nearly all of the work. It was a diverse community representation that put it all together, and they refer to themselves as the Welcoming Committee. And typical of many Burmese events, there is a group of people that come together. As one of the Washington helpers, the connections to Washington, our first task was to elect two leaders, and they did. I'm not sure that's ever happened before in our Burma community. Because, again, we have about 30-odd ethnic, religious, language, generational, political groups that sort of wanted representation before one of the most powerful world citizens from their country. And it was a tough negotiations, and they did a beautiful job.
Well, we'll talk about a few of the specific or more specific points in the speech in just a little while, but and we'll open the phones in just a minute here too. Already some callers on the line, but Fred, briefly, your take on what did you think of her hour long presentation?
Well, having studied her other venue presentations since she's arrived in the U.S., this was a speech for Fort Wayne. It was representative of her counseling, her mentorship, related to not being envious when someone succeeds, working together beyond ethnic groups. She talked about the need for a new Panlong Conference. Panlong Conference was actually set up by her father in 1947, prior to his assassination. Was to occur in 1948, and the purpose of the Congress in Burma at that time was to put the ethnic groups into the constitution and the framework of government in the country. And when she says we need a new one, actually we need the first one. In that, there is, as in many countries, ethnic issues related to sometimes centuries-old conflicts. And she spoke to that beautifully. The second thing she spoke to was that the lifting of sanctions. And that has been a touchy question here in the United States related to U.S. policy, and also even among some of her constituents, especially in this country, who believe that they have not proceeded far enough yet to begin those sanctions. She was under pressure from two arenas. First was the Europeans, who dropped their sanctions about 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And when Europe drops theirs, then we better either get, you know, in the boat or it's going to take off. And the president authorized more exchanges. Her huge concern remains, for instance, oil and minerals are still under the control of the military.
And we'll dig a little bit deeper into some of these issues in just a little while. But I do want to get to our callers on the line. And if you'd like to join the conversation, share your thoughts about Aung San Suu Kyi's visit to Fort Wayne, give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. We've got Ann on the line. Ann, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, Sean. I had several comments, and I'm trying to condense them. The IPFW's chancellor said Aung San Suu Kyi is a teacher, among other things, which I thought she was today. Her three main points that I took from the presentation were education for citizens, honesty in leaders, and what she's been promoting in her talks of late is consensus, that leaders have to work together to iron out problems. And I find this amazing from somebody who has experienced what she experienced in these last years, able to come forth with that kind of, what would the word be?
How about generosity?
Well, yeah, at least that. Because
courage,
it would be so easy. Of course, that's not what leaders do, but it would be so easy to be negative and revengeful.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that was Fred Gilbert's.
Exactly.
Fred Gilbert, that was really, I mean, kind of the whole speech, going back to the teaching thing in particular. And not only was she teaching Fort Wayne about Burma, but a broader way to live life, really.
Well, clearly, and you know, much of it, you know, is based on a Buddhist tradition, also based in her education related to, you know, some Christian and British schools. She has a world-class education. And the other thing that she talked about in her appearance before the International Peace Institute, she says, it takes courage to change your mind.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. all politicians should live by that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when her main phrase on her cards is Tatichiba, which is be brave.
Tatichiba.
And thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a very good day. We're going to continue going to the phones here. If you want to join the conversation, 260-452-1185. And we have Allie Catherine on the line. Good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, a number of the things that I enjoyed out of the speech have already been stated. So,
we'll love for you to share your thoughts.
Well, honestly, I don't know if you were there at the Coliseum, but somebody yelled out, "Translation!" That was me.
That was you. Yes. We should note that during several parts of Suu Kyi's speech, which was primarily in Burmese, there were translations on screens in the auditorium, but they eventually went out. So that was you. You were the translation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
right.
She answered you.
She did, and I really appreciated everyone's patience with someone disrupting this woman, which was kind of arrogant, but that's what I did. The thing that was helpful for me is somebody came, you know, 4, 5, 6 seats down and sat next to me and began to translate.
Right.
Then other people kind of joined the pod who got a fresh translation, so that was extraordinarily helpful. One of the things that hasn't been quite touched on that I got from the speech wasn't just the bravery, but it was a sense of confidence that Aung San Suu Kyi was entrusting during her speech, as well as asking people to gain confidence and to do kind of get confidence in your own terms, which means, you know, by not envying others. So I deeply appreciated that. And for me, one unresolved question that I have, and I'm sure others have questions as well, is all those years that she was in prison in her house, you know, she was like stuck in her house or whatever her household compound was.
She was
like,
under house arrest for about 15 years, yeah.
How did she have patience? I mean, you know, I think of driving around the countryside, just around Fort Wayne, how beautiful it is, or going to the movies or something, or, you know, going to the grocery store, for goodness sake. How does a person have patience to endure that?
The Smithsonian did an interview last month with her, and it talked about her faith, and her faith is Buddhism. She talked at length of how Buddhism helped her get through the loneliness and lack of contact from during the house arrest. And in a speech again in Washington this week, she said it allowed her to listen, something politicians don't normally do. And I think, she learned so much from listening to others. And she even mentioned also that, you know, she heard Fort Wayne a lot.
Yeah, I think I have the quote right here. Because I listen to the radio quite often, I hear the term Fort Wayne. I learn that the people here from Burma are very, very enthusiastic, and I know that sometimes there are conflicts between people, she goes on. But it was certainly, I mean, her faith, and not only in, you know, in humanity, but I think in herself to be able to go through that, quite an extraordinary thing. So.
Yep.
Ellie Catherine, thank you very much for giving us a call.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, bye-bye.
And Fred, to pick up a little bit on the translation, as I understand it, there was an internet issue.
We think it was a failed internet connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there was a local translator calling.
Local translator calling an internet service that translated like a court reporter, and that feed came back to Fort Wayne. And I'm sure that IPFW in their final archival will probably correct nearly all of that, because we have the facilities to do that here.
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you'd like to share your thoughts about Aung San Suu Kyi's visit to Fort Wayne. That just wrapped up around about 10:30 today at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. You can also share your thoughts on Facebook. That's facebook.com/MiddayMatters, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters with your thoughts. We have a few more callers on the line. Let's open the phones once again and go to Carolyn. Carolyn, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Sean, we had talked, you interviewed my students before Aung San Suu Kyi came.
Oh, Miss Bookmeyer.
Yes.
Yes.
And I thought I would just, from a teacher's perspective, kind of give you my students' reaction.
Certainly, absolutely.
As you know, they were thrilled to go. They were just very excited to go see her and be with her, and really wanted to get pictures taken with her afterwards, but of course that wasn't going to work. They were very inspired. And I think a lot of what she had said about, you know, you need to have self-confidence and you can't change, you know, other people, but you can have self-confidence in yourself and have the courage to go forward, seemed to really make an impact on them.
And we should clarify to our audience that your students, if you don't mind me saying, you teach an English as a second language class.
Correct.
And not only Burmese students, but students from many different cultures.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And we were only able, because of bus issues and such, to take the kids who have a heritage of Burma or from Burma. Mm-hmm. But the other kids were just as excited. And they had a lot to share when they got back to school.
I'm sure there'll be a lot to share over the next few days as well.
You're right.
Well, Carolyn, thank you very much for calling today, and thanks for letting me intrude on your classroom for that story.
Oh, we were delighted to have you. Thank you very much.
All right, have a very good day. One more caller on the line, and then we'll go to a break. Of course, the number, if you want to share your thoughts, 260-452-1185. Let's go to Dave on the line. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. afternoon. I thought that the speech was very impressive. I would like to see 39 be broadcasted with complete and competent translation. I think that this woman is a political leader at a level the United States no longer produces. And it doesn't matter how long it takes for them to do that job. I would like them to do it.
And Fred Gilbert had a big smile on his face just now. I think there's some agreement in the studio. I imagine that over the course of the next few days, translations will probably get cleared up here, and hopefully we can all take a look at that soon, have a listen to that soon.
And David, I know some of the people sitting behind me would agree with you. One of the comments when she was asked what makes a good political leader and answered about honesty and listening to others and not overpromising. One of the people next to me said, is it too late for her to get on the ballot here?
Well, we speak of people who are fathers of their nation, but she is a mother of that nation.
Yes. And we have also politicians who didn't win elections, mm-hmm. who equal her in terms of stature, maybe not worldwide, but we have some wonderful politicians.
Yeah.
Some of them have trouble winning against current modern systems.
I believe her quote, and then we'll have to go to a break here, her quote toward the end of her presentation, though, was a populist leader is not the same as a
yes.
good leader, and
yes,
she's
exactly.
She stressed honesty and leadership. But David, thank you very much for giving us a call and sharing your thoughts today.
You're welcome.
All right, have a very good day. We're going to take just a quick break. We'll get back to this when we come back. And, of course, we want you to join the conversation during this part of our program. The number 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. This is Midday Matters. Stay with us.
In Afghanistan, the vast majority of missions in recent months were joint operations, where NATO troops paired with Afghan forces. Most of those joint operations are now on hold after dozens of NATO troops were killed by Afghans in uniform. I'm Neil Conan. If we're not training Afghans, can they ever take on the Taliban? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Bob Mayer. Join me Tuesday nights on WBOI for Tossed Jazz Salad, an eclectic mix of assorted styles of jazz with some standards, some bop, a bit of cool, and a pinch of swing. Tuesday nights from 7 to 9.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lutheran Hospital, providing procedures for heart failure patients that keep their treatment in Fort Wayne, close to home. Information at lutheranhealth.net. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
Well, 12:26 here at 89.1 FM. You're tuned to Midday Matters, right? On this Tuesday afternoon. Got a little bit tongue-tied there.
Usually a financial focus, but today we're reaching out to the world and asking for your reactions to the very impressive speech we received this morning.
That's right. We'll refocus on our financial focus just a little bit later in the show, but we do want to hear from you, of course. Aung San Suu Kyi, the Burmese Democratic Opposition Leader, spoke in Fort Wayne this morning. I know a lot of our listeners were there or were watching on PBS 39 or listening here on WBOI. We want to hear your reaction and your thoughts. Give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. And it looks like we have a Facebook comment here from Kathy. Kathy says she spoke, Aung San Suu Kyi spoke with clarity, compassion, courage, and common sense, and was extremely well received by everyone in attendance. Fred Gilbert, I think you'd agree.
Yes. Yeah. From the welcoming story to the end. Suu Kyi has a way of, you know, sort of bowing her eyes when applauded. she's a sweet and humble lady. And from the beginning to the end, the beginning with the bouquets and, you know, ending up with a bushel basket full of flowers and what to do with them.
And many more gifts elsewhere in the Coliseum,
yes.
I imagine.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's go to the phones here. It looks like we've got Gary on the line. Gary, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I had a question about the translation. In fact, I had the question about the translation before the event even occurred. I mean, we have, I believe, the largest population of Burmese in the United States right here in Fort Wayne. I'm sure we have some translators that help these people through their daily needs. Why did we have to send to another state and have it transmitted there and transmitted back when we have, I'm sure, translators here that are very confident and would have ran much smoother? And I was wondering when I heard, because I heard they were going to do this before the event, that they were going to send it out and have it translated.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we have a local translator, and we would have had probably zero problems? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Gary. Of course, I think that's probably a matter for WFWA and the welcoming committee and the Coliseum. But Fred, any thoughts?
Well, we had a local translator, and a very competent local translator. And it's my understanding that Channel 39 had technical issues related to a first ever type situation. And I'm sure they'll work it out. My hope, and I'm pretty sure a promise, that PBS 30 or Channel 39 will ultimately in the archives correct all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things, as I was sitting there, I'm a glasses user, so the print wasn't really working all that well for me anyway, and that's just me. But I felt like I was a guest of a very important event, and it was kind of, you know, after I realized, okay, I'm not going to get the exact words here, it was really neat to be watching the people around me, their faces, their reactions. It was clear that this was someone that was relating to them very directly. I mean, you said this was a Fort Wayne speech, and I got the impression they felt like she really knew them.
There was no question that this speech was for Fort Wayne's Burmese population. That we knew that going in 2 months ago. That was the instruction. That's the instructions for all the venues. Now, Washington has been allowed, apparently, to have a little extra, probably politically, but the Fort Wayne venue was the Fort Wayne Burma community. And thanks to IPFW and Channel 39, we had what we have. And I just graciously think so many people have helped put that all together.
And she talked a lot about language and preserving your language and culture. And you, Fred, had mentioned that we think our Burmese community all speak Burmese. But tell us a little bit more, and maybe you covered this a bit yesterday, but I don't think in light of her comments it would hurt to mention it again today.
Well, we have Burmese, we have Karen, we have two types of Karen, Pao and Skaw Karen, Mon, Chin, Shan, multiple dialects of some of those languages. And there were some students behind me that said, I don't know what she's saying. And it was a Burmese student of Karen extraction who may have lived his entire life in a Karen camp and never learned Burmese. So we have so many generational differences here in the city, too. So, you know, English ain't the only one. And in Burma, Burma ain't the only one. But look at the job that Suu Kyi has to do.
Yes. Well, and I hadn't really grasped that, you know, we think, okay, converting from a military ruler to a democracy. But and she mentioned the fragile moment that...
Oh, my. This is a fragile moment. Today is a fragile moment. The president of Burma is at the UN today, Mr. Thein Sein. Mr. Thein Sein is a former general, the president who has worked beautifully with Suu Kyi, and she has the deepest respect for him. And he's now in Washington, and her intent was today largely allowed to upstage him because that's very sensitive.
just a few minutes left in this part of our Midday Matters Tuesday program. If you'd like to share your thoughts about Aung San Suu Kyi and her visit to Fort Wayne, the number 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. You can get your thoughts in under the wire before we refocus on our financial focus today. One thing I did want to address, you guys talked about it a little bit, of course, the diversity within the Burmese population here in Fort Wayne even, but also Suu Kyi's call several times, I believe, during the speech to return to Burma.
There was a direct invitation to come back, yes. Whether you have become a citizen or not, welcome back. And I know that there are several in the community that are working on venues by which that might occur. My guess is with some of the economic exchanges and some of the quality of our Burmese students, we're going to see some real potential for that. And, you know, after the State Department defines what that means, then I think there will be some motion. And also I think her visit will promote Congress, if it can do anything, to maybe relax some of that.
That does seem like such a dicey situation, not just with you know, State Department regulations with the United States government, but also, you know, as Suu Kyi mentioned, you know, it is not a democracy yet. It seems like that would present real danger for those, or potential danger for those maybe returning to their homeland.
Well, a number of our Fort Wayne people have been removed from the blacklist as of about 2 months ago, and they would have been arrested in prison had they returned. Now they're off the blacklist, and I was one of them.
Yeah. And that was something before the speech that caught my eye was there were a couple of Facebook pages that posted, you know, are you coming to this event? And remembering a couple years ago talking to some of the Burmese community, and they were not comfortable with telling you their names or much of their personal stories. And here they are happily posting their names and pictures.
Yes, it is incredible.
Celebrating that they're going to be able to
A year ago, it would not have been imagined.
Well, we're just about done with this part of the program. But Fred, final thoughts on this. Now that we've had this visit, now that we have this encouragement, that thanks from Suu Kyi, where does Fort Wayne go from here? Where does the Fort Wayne Burmese community go from here? How do we use this?
Well, first, I think our elected American politicians have a lot to learn, and they will. She will help teach them. But the Burma community, I think, has grown a huge amount in this, and I think will continue to perhaps form some more exchange committees. And this would be to build on what we've got and to pull those groups in that got isolated some way or another along the way and to really pull it together.
Fred Gilbert, thank you very much for joining us yesterday and today post-event. We really appreciate your insight here.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sean.
And I do want to note that we invited several members of the Fort Wayne Burmese community to join us as well. But, of course, it's a very busy day. and so Fred was kind enough to join us to help help us interpret this a little bit.
Indeed. And if I'm guessing right, judging from what Fred has told us about their functionality of their committees, they're probably debriefing right now.
Actually, I think they're mostly probably eating lunch at Manin
That sounds okay by me. Mm-hmm. Well, Fred Gilbert, thank you once again. We're going to take a quick break for the news. We'll refocus on our financial focus when we come back. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
National security experts take to the skies for a dogfight with homemade drones. At least those that made it off the ground.
The cyber attack was really quite brilliant.
Drones battle on a small scale.
We tried hacking in and taking control from a separate iPhone.
With big implications today on All Things Considered from NPR News. All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOY News. The leader of Myanmar's democracy movement has told thousands of supporters at Fort Wayne's Coliseum that she will work to make sure everyone who wants to return to the Southeast Asian nation will be welcome there. WBOY's Will Murphy reports.
Aung San Suu Kyi spoke to an estimated 3,000 people this morning during a stop on her 17-day visit to the United States. The 67-year-old Nobel laureate told supporters who greeted her with cheers and a standing ovation that people should work together toward their goals and strive to avoid envy and jealousy. Suu Kyi told the Coliseum crowd about the importance of resolving problems through discussion and debate. Also speaking at this morning's event were Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry, Indiana Senator Dan Coats, community leader Yu Tun U, and IPFW Chancellor Vicky Carwine. For WBOI News, I'm Will Murphy.
Drivers along some Indiana highways soon will be met with the message that every 25 minutes someone dies from a prescription drug overdose in the U.S. Attorney General Greg Zeller said Monday that 10 billboards are going up in Marion, Allen, Monroe, Jackson, and Scott counties as part of a campaign to fight prescription drug abuse. He says that's the nation's fastest growing drug problem. Indiana State Department of Health data shows more than 650 Hoosiers lost their lives to drug overdoses in 2010. A new prescription drug abuse task force consisting of lawmakers, police, health officials, pharmaceutical representatives, and others met for the first time last week. A new report says that the number of people dying on the job in Indiana rose to 122 last year from 118 the year before. WBOI's Katie Anderson has more.
On Monday, the Indiana Department of Labor released preliminary data on workplace deaths for 2011. The report shows the riskiest jobs in Indiana are related to driving, including commercial vehicles, automobiles, forklifts, and construction equipment. Last year, half of all fatalities were transportation-related events. Nearly a third involved highway motor vehicle crashes. Labor Commissioner Lori Torres says the 3% increase in workplace fatalities strongly suggests that Indiana has much more work to do in the area of workplace safety. For WBOY News, I'm Katie Anderson.
Department of Child Services Director James Payne resigned from his post Monday in the wake of allegations of impropriety regarding the DCS and a case involving his own family. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, DCS Chief of Staff John Ryan now heads the state agency.
Payne's resignation comes after allegations that he interfered with a child neglect investigation involving his grandchildren. Payne's son was involved in a bitter divorce from his wife, and Payne is alleged to have worked to discredit DCS caseworkers on behalf of his son. Governor Daniels issued a statement praising Payne's services head of DCS, saying thousands of Hoosier children are better off because of his leadership. News of the resignation came just minutes before a legislative study committee meeting looking into DCS practices. Democratic members of the committee had called for a state investigation into the allegations surrounding Payne, and Evansville Representative Gail Reakin says his resignation doesn't change that.
We think that the issues are we're just now hearing about them. We don't know how far down they go into the department, and I think we need to know that.
Indianapolis Republican Representative Cindy Noe, the study committee's co-chair, says those investigations are outside the legislature's purview.
You have the Commission on Ethics, as well as the Inspector General. In this instance, those entities will not be used because this issue has been resolved within the executive branch of government.
Noe says the allegations should not erase the good that Payne has done for the state. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
A grassroots group that runs a food pantry for those in need is beginning to harvest crops its members planted in the fields of northern Indiana farmers. WBOY Sean Beter has the story.
Volunteers for Church Community Services last week harvested 5,200 pounds of potatoes through its Seed to Feed program, started earlier this year. This week, volunteers plan on picking about 500 pounds of tomatoes at a field in Goshen. Rod Robertson, the agency's executive director, says because the program has exceeded expectations, food from the fields has already been distributed to other area pantries and hot meal sites. Robertson says Church Community Services also will benefit from the sale of soybeans and feed corn. Money from those sales will be used to buy food. For WBOY News, I'm Sean Beter.
An Indianapolis-based group that builds schools in Uganda has received a $500,000 boost from former President Bill Clinton's foundation. Members of Building Tomorrow received the gift Monday from the Clinton Global Initiative during a ceremony in New York City. Building Tomorrow was founded in 2006. The group builds primary schools in Uganda for communities that otherwise would not be able to provide formal education to their children. And now back to your host for Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
It's 12:43. You're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns for this hour of Midday Matters. And you noticed I put the financial focus back in
the title
there, Susan. Here. It's time to shift back to our regular theme of the week.
It is. And here we are with another resource for you, our listeners, to consider. We've invited Kurt Sylvester to join us today. He's on the state executive council of a very large group you may even be a member of. Well, maybe not you, Sean.
Not yet.
But I am. And so we're sneaking up on the statistic. Kurt, how many people are members of AARP?
Well, nationally, we have 37 million. In Indiana, we have 852,000. And in Allen County, we have 26,000, which basically comes down to about one out of every seven people in the county are a member of AARP.
And so unlike Groucho Marx, wouldn't want to be a club member of a club that would have him.
That's right.
I'm part of a group of 800-some thousand people in Indiana. So, Kurt, tell us a little about this group that I haven't ever been to a meeting of.
Well, AARP was founded by a lady called Ethel Percy Andrus. She was a high school teacher in California. And the story goes back to when she went out to visit one of her retired teachers, and when going to the address where she thought she lived, she didn't find her. And finally someone said, why don't you check the chicken coop back in the back? And she found her teacher living in a chicken coop because when she retired, she didn't have enough money to live on. And out of that, we call her Aunt Ethel, founded what today is called the National Retired Teachers Association. And so she worked as a political group to try to get a better pensions and insurance for the retired. About 10 years later, other people came to her and said, we'd like to have those same benefits. And now that she started a group called the American Association of Retired Persons. Today, we no longer use that title. We are simply AARP. Do not say ARP. we are AARP. It doesn't stand for anything now except AARP because over 50% of our membership are not retired. Those who were retired in this economy have had to go back to work, but you can become a member at 50, and I'm not old enough to be Sean either, but they've given me a learner's permit. but the 1957 was when it was founded. And it really began as groups formed in local areas and were chartered as chapters. Allen County has one of the oldest of the chapters. It was founded in 1966. So the local chapter is 46 years old. And they meet on the third Thursdays at the Community Foundation Building at 555 East Wayne Street. And that's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But we have a lot of other activities that go. And even though you think of it as being the retired people, we are really wanting to concentrate on boomers, because those are the people who are beginning to retire and are in a panic mode. And since you're into financial here, yes. We know that the people who a few years ago, if you asked them, what's it going to be like when you retire? And they said, oh, well, we're going to have X amount of dollars because we've put our monies away into the 401ks and all these other things. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. We'll be covered by insurance. And then when retirement has come, they found that the funds have depleted. Companies have said we're no longer going to be having insurance for retirees. You're on your own. So I'm amazed at how many people I talk to whose only income they have in retirement is Social Security. And so I'll just say in general, because I know we won't have enough time in today's show to get to everything, but locally we are looking at how we can improve the quality of life. And overall, it's improving the quality of life for people age 50 and over is our goal. But we have seniors who have had their children and grandchildren move in with them in this economy.
Yeah.
We have grandparents raising grandkids. And people on fixed incomes just cannot take their grandchildren to the venues that we really need to have culture. And so we'd really like to be talking with local establishments such as the Children's Zoo and the Tin Caps and the Embassy and all those areas about, are there ways that we might be able to work out arrangements for better quality, or even hopefully talking to some foundations and some companies who might like to sponsor these kind of events. We are also doing other things. We have people have probably heard of ARP Foundation Tax Aid, where you can go and get your taxes done for free and volunteer persons do those for you. We have the ARP Driver Safety Program, where you can go and take those classes. I've taken those, and it's amazing. Since I took my driver's education, what the rules have changed and how to read those signs and everything. We have, in the local community, we have worked with having programs for Ready for Retirement, which we're going to be having another in 2013. We worked in the redistricting process, and we worked in a program called Complete Streets, and we're hoping that Indianapolis just adopted that concept, and we're hoping Fort Wayne will soon. We've been working for 2 years with the downtown committee and groups on that.
And I just want to interrupt briefly and say that if our listeners want to join the conversation here, they absolutely can. We invite you to be with us. It's 260-452-1185, or email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters.
Indeed. And Kurt, you were telling us about some of the classes that are offered. Ready for Retirement. Oh, Complete Streets.
Complete Streets is a concept nationwide that is helping cities and even the county, the rural areas, to look at when we look at transportation, it really needs to be seen as getting an individual from one place to another. And most of the time, it seems in our society, transportation is meant cars.
Yeah.
And so we're wanting to make our roadways safe for people who are driving, people who are cycling, who are people walking in wheelchairs, on walkers. One of the goals that we, or things we did a year ago, was we challenged our members to walk out of their home and keep a diary of their walk to their closest pharmacy, their closest place to eat, restaurant-wise, and their closest grocery store, and how many times they had no sidewalks to walk on. And it was amazing. We have over 350 miles of major thoroughfares in the city of Fort Wayne that have no sidewalks. And if you go into neighborhoods, you know, we have this policy that you put a sidewalk in when the building is built. And so if you have lots that have been purchased but have not been developed yet, there's no sidewalk going through there. Just a lot of things. The other thing would be nice if contractors would start building homes with the doors just a few inches wider so that wheelchairs could get through them rather than all the expense of having to redo a house whenever.
Yeah.
Because in today's society, we know that in our community, we have an awful lot of children who are in wheelchairs. So it isn't just a senior's problem.
And we do need to take just a quick break here. We'll continue the discussion with Kurt Sylvester when we get back. We want you to join the conversation, though. Give us a call, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Dear Lord, please let this date be good. May he have the wealth of Mayor Bloomberg, the personality of Jon Stewart, the face of Michael Fassbender.
On the next Fresh Air, Mindy Kaling. She plays a single doctor whose personal life is a mess and who struggles to do the right thing in the new show, The Mindy Project. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Travel Leaders, proud supporter of public broadcasting, featuring Alaskan cruises and European holidays. Travel Leaders, making vacations monumental, online at travelbetterindiana.com. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
Just a few minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, this is Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm your host, Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns on this Tuesday edition of our program. With us in studio is Kurt Sylvester, Executive Council Member at AARP. And we do want to hear from you today if you want to join the conversation. The number, it's 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters.
It is. And Kurt, we were talking a little about some of the advocacy activities of the group, and there's two things before our hour is over that I'd love to hear more from you about. One of those is a program that you refer to as Encore. Right. And tell us a little about that, and then after that, fill us in on the Earn to Say initiative.
Okay. Well, AARP has recently launched a partnership with LinkedIn called Work Reimagined. And so if you go to LinkedIn, after you sign in, go to Groups, and under that, go to Reimagined. There is a chat room there that you can join. And this is really designed to help people in their retooling if they're needing to find work age 50 and above. And the other is there is a free workshop coming up. It's called Encore Entrepreneurial Mentor Day. I'll say that again. Encore Entrepreneurial Mentor Day.
Easy for you to say.
Right. And that's October the 2nd. It will be in Indianapolis at the offices of the Small Business Administration. And that's at Keystone at the Crossing. And you can go online and sign up for that. But it is free. All you have to do is drive down for it. And so you might get a carload of people and go down and take part in that. But that's one of the things that is happening. And then in 2013, we will be having a workshop here in Fort Wayne called Ready for Retirement. It's helping people to plan for those kind of things. So there's more things coming along, but we have another one that possibly in there of retooling for people after 50, because we had a workshop in Indianapolis. It was quite successful. But we asked people to bring their resumes and come dressed for an interview as if they were going. And we were amazed at how people didn't quite understand that after so many years since they'd been employed the first time or whatever, that they no longer know how to create a resume according to today's standards. They don't know how to dress for going out to work. And so it was just a very practical day and helped a lot of people.
Kind of a dress rehearsal.
It was. And the other is that if you're interested in knowing where your politicians stand on the economic issues of Social Security and Medicare, you can go to the ARP page, arp.org, and scroll down to where it says the voter guidelines, and you can put in your address, and it will bring up your gubernatorial, state senator, state representative, and all of the local people that, or I shouldn't say local, national people, and their stances on the various economic issues that might be interest of you. You mentioned the You've Earned a Stay, and that's a three-year program. And thus far, we've been going around, and millions of people have filled out questionnaires, either online or in person. We've had a lot of workshops and meetings here in Allen County with that. And now we're going into the new phase right now, which is the guidelines, helping our politicians to know what we were wanting and find out what they want. But next year, we are going to continue that. And so it will really be a direct dialogue between ARP members and their legislators. And our goal is to let our people, ARP, say what their wishes are on certain issues, and we relate those directly to our people who are going to be elected this coming November, and vice versa. And so it's going to be a very much interactive process.
Yeah, because that's one of those issues that's looming before us.
Yeah, we're very concerned that our people who are retired and those who will be retiring have both Medicare and Social Security in their future.
So this is a way you can, if you have thoughts or questions,
yes,
you can either get information or
right.
speak up.
And there'll be we'll be having special seminars and workshops, and there'll be if you're a member of ARP, you'll be learning about these through ARP Magazine, the ARP Bulletin Magazine, or if when you joined, if you gave your email to ARP, we will be emailing you invitations to these workshops. If you give your telephone number, you'll get a phone call. So the more you let us know how to communicate with you, the more we'll be able to do that.
Not all of these services are necessarily just for members. Obviously, a lot of the ARP voter guide, several other resources are available on your website as well.
And we're multi-generational now. So like I mentioned before, we're doing a lot of things even for children because of their relationship to the older family. So it's become a quite different program than it used to be.
Good.
Well, that's about all the time we have for this edition of Midday Matters. Kurt Sylvester, Executive Council Member at AARP, thank you very much for being with us today. Also, thanks to Susan Burns for another wonderful show. And we'd like to thank Fred Gilbert as well for stopping by to help us with the first part of the program. Thanks also to you all for tuning in, calling in, posting on our Facebook wall, sending messages our way. We do appreciate it. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, broadcasting here from the Madge Rothschild Studios. You can also find us online at nipr.fm. That's where we have all of our program streams. Thanks for listening today. Fresh Air is coming up next. The time is 1 o'clock. From WH.